What happened?
His brain is gone. His body lives. The autonomic functions continue. But there is no mind.
You actually offered illogic as a defense of your position.
Absolutely.
Is that logical to do?
Isn't that a part of being illogical?
No. The absence of logic isn't logic. Are you keeping the commandments?
I told you, I'm doing my best.
I didn't ask if you're doing your best.
I'm doing my best. Yes, I fail.
Oh, so
I
you're not keeping the commandments then?
That's not true. I'm doing my best.
Oh, you are keeping the commandments.
Why do we have logic when it appears to be built from the very beginning on illogic?
Could you do me a favor? Could you do me a favor?
Okay.
Do some thinking.
I am.
Don't tell me you don't know and then say I'm wrong. Because if you don't know, you can't say I'm wrong. So you're keeping the commandments.
I'm not perfect.
So you're not keeping the commandments. Perfect. Which is it? You keeping them or you're not keeping them?
This has nothing to do with anything. I don't understand what you're
saying. It has everything to do with everything.
Fascinating.
Wake the neighbors. Get the word out.
All right, everyone. How are you? I am fine. Are you doing well? I'm talking nice and slowly here. Hey, it's Friday. It's 10/21/2011. That's October 21st, 2011 for the podcasters. And today's a nice Friday, teaching Bible study. And it's hate mail day. Doing hate mail. I love hate mail. And I actually gotten some complaints to... Okay. I got some good complaints about people saying, hey, where's the hate mail? They like the hate. I'm going to do hate mail. I got hate mail. Now, folks, what we are here is a Christian apologetics show, and what that means is that we take callers and we talk about the Christian faith, and I say it like it is. I just say it like it is. Nice high voice there. I say it like it is. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the truth. And without Jesus, you are lost. You need the real Jesus, not the Jesus of the Jehovah's Witnesses, not the Jesus of Mormonism, and not the false gospel of the Roman Catholic Church. You will not be saved in Islam, the New Age, Wicca, atheism, or anything else. You must have the only true Jesus and trust in his work. Without him, you're lost. And I don't want you to be lost, but without him, you are lost. You need Jesus. It's not my opinion. This is what Jesus said. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. John 14:6. You need Jesus. You don't have him, you're in trouble. Now, I will be teaching tonight, Friday, October 21st, 7:30 tonight. I'll be teaching a Bible study at the Crossing Church in Nampa. If you want to get to it, it's okay. Just come on out. Get off on exit 36, which is... you know, you go from the airport direction, you know, you go clear out to Nampa, not that you drive that far, but at any rate, go out to Nampa, exit 36, you go north, 3/4 mile, and on the left-hand side is the Crossing Church, and that'll be that. You get there, 7:30 tonight. Let's get to the caller really fast, really, really fast. Is he ready? No? You're still talking to him? Okay. Because I got hate mail. I'm going to make him wait for hate mail. I'm going to do hate mail. We'll do hate mail, have him wait for 5 minutes or so. Now, look, this is a hate mail from a Wicca person. Now, Wicca is an earth-based religion where you can... Don't we do that now? Yeah, might as well. Because I want to get into it, and I don't want to have any interruptions. So let's just get to John from Boise. John, welcome to the show.
Now, you're not a Christian, and I can prove it because today is Rapture Day, and Harold Camping says that you're not supposed to be here. So you're clearly not a Christian.
Yeah, I know. And people have said that. People have said that. Yep. So what do you got, man? What's up?
That's it. That's all I got, man.
That was it?
That's it.
Okay.
I come easy, and I let you off the hook light.
Oh, okay. I appreciate that. That's nice.
Anyway, I just want to kind of wish you the best with your little shindig tonight. Sorry I can't be there.
Okay, don't say much about it, but yes, gotcha.
No. Uh-huh. Sorry I let the cat out of the bag.
Yeah. Okay, sounds good.
Big party at Matt's house.
Thanks.
All right, and God bless. Take care.
All right, man, we'll see you. God bless. Bye. All right. Hey, folks, if you want to, well, I'll tell you, I'll get the number out right now. What I'm going to do is get you some hate mail. Hate mail. Okay. All right, where were we? Let's see. Here we go. All right, this is from Wicca. My name is Caden. I am a Wiccan. I would like to point out there are no demonic forces involved, as you have put it. Now, this is what I said, folks. I said, when with Wicca, and this is a truth. They don't believe it, but there are demonic forces that are involved with Wicca in every false religious system. I mean, it's just what it is. You know, you either have the truth with God or you don't with demonic forces. Now, Wicca, you know, they have seances kind of things. They do some versions of Wicca will do sacrifices. Some don't. They try and contact earth gods, earth goddesses, things like this. How do they know that they aren't contacting something demonic? You know, but biblically speaking, they are contacting demonic forces. Anyway, so he says, no, we're not. Okay. Secondly, this goes on, the dreams, etc., have nothing to do with Wicca. Okay, what dreams? It is against Wiccan law to harm another or influence them against their will. Wiccans are healers, teachers, and protectors. I would also like to point out that your Christian holidays are based around the times of pagan holidays. I have nothing against Christianity. My whole family is Southern Baptist. It just irritates me to the highest degree when I see Wicca being used to explain someone's bad luck. Okay. What's that guy? That's out of the blue. Anyway, you also say there is no way for him, this is quoting me, you also say, quote, quoting me now, there's no way for him to verify that what he is trying to contact and work with is ultimately good or bad, close quote. Can you verify if God is good or bad? Now, look, this is so typical. It's so typical. I'll ask them a question, and they don't answer the question. You know, I say, can you verify that that the car is painted blue? Hey, socks are in the drawer. They do not answer the question. They go to some other direction. It drives me crazy. I ask them a question. How do you verify that what you're believing in is true or false? How do you verify it? Well, that's another question. I'm asking you a question. Why don't you answer the question? You know? So let me ask you the question again. How do you verify whether you believe in something is you know, true or false, demonic or really of God? Oh, I like shopping. Okay. You know, let me try it again. So, you know, how do you verify that what you're believing in is actually good or bad? How do you know you're not reaching something demonic that's pretending to be good? How do you know? How do you know what color it is? I'm serious. I get stuff like this from people. They drive and they vote. That's not good. I know it's scary. They drive and they vote. Hey, so do you like believe in God? I have a cat. Let me ask you again. Do you believe in God? Blue. Do you believe in God? I'm going to vote now. See, this is scary to me. You know, it's like, I've just asked a question. You could say things like, no, I don't know how to determine that. That's a good question. Or, I think I know how. Let me talk to you about this. It's actually a response to the actual question. It's, you know, can you verify if God is good or bad? If so, and you think he is good, please explain why there are please explain why there are wars being fought, people being murdered, and crime everywhere. If you think God is good, explain why there are wars, people being murdered, and crime everywhere. Well, this is way off topic, and it's generally what I don't do. I'm talking to someone, I say, that's not the issue we're talking about, and I just ignore it. But I can't do that right now with this person because it's an email. But the reason there's wars, murders, and crime, it's because sin is in the world, because sin is working. That's why people don't follow God. Okay. He goes on. Explain why the Holocaust happened. Because sin's in the world, and people weren't following the Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on. Explain why the Holocaust happened and why so many followers of God were killed. You also say you can, quote, begin to point out various problems that you discover within Wicca, close quote. What about problems in Christianity? Think of your own flaws before pointing out others. I do, however, appreciate your 11th rule. I have an 11th rule? Huh. I'm going to attach some websites that I hope will give you broader knowledge of Wicca. Now, this is a good example of how not to answer an email properly. This is what you don't do. That's what you don't do, okay? Jeez. Okay, let me try another hate mail. That was Naratu. That's from Naratu. Oh, actually it says Caden, but it says Naratu. And that's who it's from, but then the name. Oh, my name is Caden. That's weird. It's from Naratu. I'm going to pronounce it the right way. You know, there's certain words you have to sound, right. That's one of them. Naratu. You know, so. All right, let's see. Transfer that over there. All right, this is Etoro. Etoro. This is from Etoro. Okay, E-T-O-R-O. Etoro. So I like saying it like that. Here it goes. Your views on the Trinitarian doctrine is, not are, your views are, it's plural, should say are. Anyway, I'll try it again. Your views on the Trinitarian doctrine is a bit narrowed and seem to be more philosophical. See, more is contrasting. More than what would be the question. Your views on the Trinitarian doctrine is a bit narrowed and it seemed to be more philosophical. That's it. There you go. You seem to appeal to minds by using logic rather than facts. So I appeal to minds. See, I'm reading this for the first time. You know, okay. Maybe, you know, maybe it's not technically the first time I put it in here, but I don't remember this. So I'm like the first time. You seek to appeal to minds by using logic rather than facts. You know, I do try and use logic. I'm appealing to people, not minds. Excuse me, George. Yeah. I need to appeal to your mind. Could you hold on a minute while I talk to your mind, please? Okay, Matt. I'll see here while you talk to my mind. Okay. I'm ready now. Talk to my mind. I'm sitting here doing nothing now. Hey, George's mind. Yes? I was wondering, you know, if we could discuss the law of identity. Sure. What do you want to talk about? And George steps in. Hey, what are you guys talking about? Stay out of this, George. All right. Throughout his existence on earth, Jesus never for one day considered himself equal to God, Philippians 2:6. He reiterated, not once, that he is not God, but the Son of God. That is just wrong. Okay. Philippians 2:6 does not say he does not consider himself equal. It says, did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped or robbed or stolen, because it was already his, is what's going on. Okay. Did Jesus claim to be God? Yeah, he did. He says, you must honor the Son even as you honor the Father. On equal level there. That's what he says, John 5:20-22. Okay. Let's see, what other verses where Jesus acknowledged being divine? How about when Jesus says, unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins, John 8:24, John 8:58, before Abraham was, I am. They picked up someone to throw at him, but he hid himself from them. John 10:30, I and the Father are one. They picked up stones again to throw at him, and he said, what good works are you stoning me for? For a good work we're not stoning you, but for you being a man, make yourself out to be God. He claimed to be God. Absolutely. He identified himself with the divine name, I am. In John 8:58, before Abraham was, I am. And they want to kill him for saying that. Now, in Exodus 3:14, when Moses is talking to God at the burning bush, he says, well, who are you? The answer is, I am that I am. That's who God says he was. Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. They pick up stone to kill him for saying that. He goes on. This guy in the email says, you said while on earth he was a man and did things men are supposed to do. Yeah, that's true. He ate. He went to the bathroom. He slept. He walked. He talked. Yeah. He goes on. When I read that, I actually laughed. Really? So it's laughable to say that Jesus was a man and did things men are supposed to do? Huh. That's really interesting. Because if that were true, then Stephen should have seen only Jesus seated on the throne when he was persecuted. Now, this makes no sense. I said he's a man, and he goes, I laughed because you said he was a man. Because if it was true he was a man, then Stephen should have only seen Jesus seated on the throne when he was persecuted. Jesus is both divine and human, two natures. It's called the hypostatic union, Colossians 2:9. For in him dwells all the fullness of deity in bodily form. Let me go on. He says, interestingly, that was after his ascension to heaven, so he was no longer a man. Really? So Stephen had a vision. The heavens opened up, and there was a vision. Actually, it wasn't a vision. He says he saw, I think he said he had a vision. I'm not sure. I'm going to check it. He saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And so how, if it wasn't Jesus as a man, how would he recognize him? Now look, Jesus is divine. What if he were to say Jesus is an angel? I'm going to go with the angel stuff. Let's say, as a Jehovah's Witness, to say Jesus is an angel. What's an angel look like? Don't think of the fat little Cupid thing with wings and a bow and arrow. That's not what an angel looks like. Okay. Whenever angels appear, they appear in human form so we can recognize what's going on. That's what God did in the person of Christ. So how do you recognize what an angel is? Let's say an angel were to appear as an angel. Would it be a ball of white light? Would it be a kind of time warpish wormhole kind of effect in space where the space kind of goes, whoa, whoa, whoa. What would it be? I mean, hey, look, that's an angel. How do you know? Well, space is being contorted and it's bluish. Is that what angels look like? Look, there's a divine presence. How do you know? Well, it's got a green glow to it, and when you put your hand in it, it comes out over there. How do you know? We have to understand things in terms that only we can understand. So, Jesus is not a man. So what is he? Well, he's the ethereal presence of the divine consciousness. What does that look like? Oh, it's usually yellow. It's yellow. And it moves. And it spins. That's why it's a yellow spinning Christ consciousness presence. That's how we recognize it. Hey, look. There's a yellow spinning Christ consciousness bird. This kind of stuff gets me. I mean, they're not even thinking. Come on, think. Think. That's what I'm saying. Do some thinking, okay? Okay, let me get back in there. Hold on a sec. Where was I? I was looking around on my website for a second. All right, I'm going to read some more. Actually, Jesus is a man right now. 1 Timothy 2:5, folks, just for FYI, says there's one mediator between man and God, the man, Christ Jesus. I was written after his ascension into heaven, he's called a man. But I can go into some more details, I won't do that. He goes on in the email. Further evidence to show their distinction is in 1 Corinthians 15:24 through 28. What would you say he also... Would you say that he also man there? Would you say that he also man there? I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 15:24 to 28. 1 Corinthians 15:24. It says, then comes the end when he delivers up the kingdom to God the Father, and he has abolished all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be abolished is death, for he has put all things in subjection under his feet. And when he says all things will be put in subjection, it is evident that he is accepted who put all things in subjection to him. Goes on. Okay. So it doesn't mean he's not a man right now. He goes on, would you say that he is also a man? Yes, I would. Have you bothered to check up the history of Trinity? Maybe that will also help you. Yes, I have bothered to check up on the history of the Trinity. Yes, I have, and it did help me. The Trinity is true. Okay. All right. Did I already do this one? Oh, the Gnostic Christian thing. I already did that one. I thought I'd move that over here in this category. Let's see. I'm looking through some of the hate mails. Okay. This is new to me. Okay, here I'm just reading this as I go. So I don't know if it's going to be a good one or not. I was reading the website and think I have some ideas you need to consider. In the Bible, God said he created the heavens and the earth, the stars and other planets. Oh, I think I read this one. The stars and other planets are not included. They are referred to as the heavens. If there is life on these other planets or the heavens, then it is not for us to know. And if there is, I do not believe that it is not human life, so they would need no human savior Jesus. Yeah, I remember this one, because it was so lame. If he was sent to earth as a godly tree. Yeah, I remember that. A godly tree. Hey, honey.
Yes?
Look at that tree.
What about it?
That's a godly tree.
It is? How could you tell?
Well, just look at it. Its leaves are perfect. Its bark is perfect. It's a godly tree.
Hey, I think you have a point there.
Move this over here to the use on radio thing. Oh. Let's see. I'm going to do one more hate mail. Then we'll get to the caller. Okay. I see by your comments concerning various religions that you and those who agree with you are trying to write. I already read this. What is this? I already put this in there. I think a lot of these are just duplicates. I don't know. Maybe different people put them in there. Let's see. Let's see. That's the Pokemon thing. I have it wrong. I said that. Maybe I'll do a love mail. That's weird. I'm going to do a love mail. I've done love mail. People have said, why don't you do a love mail? Here we go. I love Carm. I pray every day for Christian websites like yours, and I pray for Carm. It has so much information. I am a holy Bible-based Christian, born-again evangelical. I don't like labels. May God continue to overwhelmingly bless this site forever with success that comes from Him. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, I like that. That's nice. I appreciate that. I'll do another one. How about this one? I just found your site tonight when I was looking for something about Christianity and homosexuality. I found the article very interesting, and it expresses my feelings pretty much exactly. I've been having a hard time seeing some Christians being so supportive of this lifestyle. Hold on. I had to clear my throat there. I have some friends, not close ones though, and a cousin that are homosexual, and I do love them, but that doesn't mean that I have to approve or condone their lifestyle. Anyway, I really enjoyed the article and went on to read Mr. Slick's testimony, which I found to be very good, and I'm not sure why others wouldn't want to hear it. I have bookmarked the page and plan to read some more of the articles later. I'm really glad to hear someone affirm that we should love the homosexual and treat homosexuality as any other sin, but also state that it is sin and shouldn't be accepted as an alternative lifestyle by Christians. Thank you. You're welcome, Suzanne. There you go. Good stuff. I got a wacko category. I haven't been over looking at this in a while. Oh, I've got wacko mail. Oh, man. I'll get to the callers really fast, and then we'll get the wacko mail. Not just hate mail, the wacko category. Right, what, now? No? That one? What? I'm good looking? What? I'm a hunk? The caller. Oh, that's what Cam. Oh, she's Paul. Okay, never mind. Let's get to Paul. Hey, Paul. Welcome to the show, man.
Hey, Matt. How you doing?
I'm doing okay.
I have two questions for you.
All right.
I was hoping that maybe you could explain from Scripture and then also maybe from your own personal experience or thoughts or some commentary about the physical death / spiritual death. When each occurs and what each of them means when they occur.
Wait, is this like a test question from a seminary or something or some class you're in?
No, this is what I came up with. We're having this discussion today in the chat room about the physical death and the spiritual death.
Let's separate them. Let's separate them and ask one part of each question instead of the multifaceted question. Explain the Trinity compoundly using verbs from the Old Testament in Greek, and also, what? Okay, so let's just do one thing at a time.
Okay, the physical death is apparently obvious, right?
It's, you know, yeah.
We die, we either die naturally or killed or whatever.
Well, we die. That's
okay,
right.
And so does your physical death seal your fate?
Yes.
Okay, now, that part's over with and answered.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritual death. When does the spiritual death occur, and what does it mean when,
spiritual death,
at the time?
You're born spiritually dead.
Not spiritually dead. When the second death occurs, which is the spiritual death.
Well, you said spiritual death, but we're born spiritually dead. We're dead in our trespasses.
We're spiritually dead.
We use the biblical terms. We're spiritually dead because the Bible says we're dead in our trespasses and sins, Ephesians 2:1. So it's our nature to be spiritually dead. So when does spiritual death occur? At conception.
No. I didn't mean that. I meant you are spiritually dead if you're without Christ, right? We're lost.
Well, obviously, yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. But the lost can be saved, correct?
Yes, that's just a kin.
Okay, so if I die without Christ,
you're lost.
When I die physically, that'd be the physical death. That's the first death. Then I die again when at judgment comes, and
that's some people call that the second death.
Yeah, me too. That's what I call it. Is that incorrect?
It's within orthodoxy. That's fine. No problem.
Okay. So, all right, so that's basically what happens.
Yeah.
And that occurs, at judgment, correct? Where I'm, let's say if I'm lost without Christ and I die physically, and the judgment occurs, I'll be cast into the lake of fire.
That doesn't occur till later.
That's what I'm saying. Is that when that's when my spiritual death, it's like, I don't know if I would realize it while I was physically dead. If I was going to die spiritually, I guess maybe you might know. I don't have no way to answer that. I haven't been there and came back, so I can't answer
Well,
that.
You'll know. After you die, if you're not a Christian, you'll know right away.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well then, okay, so then, all right. I mean, I guess it really doesn't matter, at that point, but for us that are still alive, it would be good to note, that I don't guess it would make any much more of a difference. The spiritual death occurs after the physical death, and that'll be when, to me...
That's one interpretation.
Right.
Okay.
Is being cut off, because it's like at the spiritual death, I'll be cut off from God. There will be no chance of reconciliation. Whereas before the physical death, I have a chance, if I'm lost, to be saved.
Right, before. But after you die, that's it. It's sealed, done.
Right.
No purgatory, no limbo,
no
second chance, no celestial heaven, terrestrial heaven.
No reincarnation.
No reincarnation. You're hosed if you don't have Jesus. You're up a creek in a cracked cement canoe without a paddle.
Okay, that takes care of that. Now, to my second question, and I guess it's kind of a multifaceted question also because it deals with creationism/evolution. Are they opposed?
Creationism good, evolution bad. Next.
Yeah, okay, but are they opposed to one another, or do they coincide? And do they coexist?
Well, let me just take, creationism is that God created the world, literally in 24-hour periods. Within Orthodox Christianity, there's a view that it could have been longer periods. There are some creationists who say that's not within Orthodoxy, but it is. And, that's an in-house debate. But the fact is, both real Christians will say, no, God created. We didn't get here by evolution.
Saying a day is not an actual day.
Yeah.
24 hours.
Yeah, they'll say that.
Somehow, it was 1,000 years then. Don't know how, but.
Well, some have said that.
Sun up, sun down.
Yeah, some have said that, but I'm not going to go with that, okay?
Me neither.
And
the reason why I don't is, Genesis 1:5 says, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Well, to me, that's the sun coming up and the sun going down over a 24-hour period. A day is a day. I don't know why it would have been any different any time before. So, anyway. All right.
That's okay.
Now, evolution.
Okay.
God made evolution.
Now, well, let me just say this.
Can you handle that?
Hold on. Let me jump in here. Evolution. I'm going to say this. People need to hear everything I'm saying, though. I'm going to say it on purpose. A little controversy. Evolution's true. But not macro. Micro. Is true. Macroevolution is an increase of genetic information such that speciation occurs to such a degree that new life forms are formed and we get from single-cell organism to man walking around upright. No possible way it did not happen. Microevolution says within genetic information that exists within a gene pool of a certain organism, that as certain traits surface and certain external forces like predation, predators, prey, or environmental pressures change, then when those environmental, those external pressures change, the new information structures that manifest inside of organisms will be passed on. For example, let's say there's a drought on an island with some birds, and the shells of certain seeds become thicker for that reason. Then only the birds with stronger, bigger bills will be able to break those seeds and survive and pass on generation. Now what happens is each time a smaller-billed bird manifests, it won't be able to feed itself, therefore it doesn't survive and its genetics are not passed on. So eventually what happens is the gene pool is reduced. And so we would have a reduction of the gene pool in microevolution through predation and environmental pressures, where macroevolution says there's an increase of genetic information. So basically they're opposite. I see microevolution as a reduction of the gene pool. Macroevolution's an increase of it. Now there's some bleed over between those two theories, which is legitimate, even within Christianity. We won't get into those details. But evolution works in the sense that there's change, it occurs, there's speciation, no problem, but we didn't get here by evolution. We did not evolve from common ancestors in hominid evolution processes.
Right. Okay. That's basically all that I had for you today.
Okay.
Not gonna... I really appreciate it, and...
Okay.
Yeah.
That was a lot of an answer.
Great.
Yeah, I had to make sure people understand, because a lot of Christians will throw out everything about evolution. Well, God in his wisdom put the information in species
right.
So that they can adapt to the environmental changes. That's all. God did it. That's all it is. Not a big deal. Okay?
Right.
Doesn't mean evolution from, you know, slime to you is how it works. No way. Just, Dad, give me a break. That's laughable.
So is that like, you know, we breed dogs
mm-hmm.
and...
You breed out traits, right.
The kind, yeah, but the kind is still a dog.
Yep.
You know, I think it's maybe
yep.
mongrel or whatever.
Right.
Right. No matter what the dog species, mm-hmm. wolf, coyote, whatever, it's all like a mongrel, I think, is maybe, I don't know what the
right.
specific single term is for that kind. There's a difference in the kind and then different
right.
species.
Right.
Like two dogs won't produce a cat.
Right.
You know, type deal. Okay, so no evolution as far as that's concerned.
Yeah,
nor
none.
Man rising up from the great ape and all that.
No, that did not happen. It did not happen. No way. God created Adam and Eve in the garden. 6,000, 10,000, 50,000, I don't care. 6,000 years ago is fine.
Right.
Created Adam and Eve. Adam was the first man. Eve was the first woman. Sin entered the world through Adam. They were literally in the
right.
garden. That's what happened. That's how he got here.
Right, and man has dominion over the beasts and the creeping things and to subdue the earth, which is having dominion
right.
over animals.
That's
man
right.
Man has dominion over animals.
But
man
not your
not
wife.
An animal.
But not your wife. Cause I,
right, right, right.
Woman, I have dominion over you.
Right.
No, I'm running quick. Get out of the way. Okay, you know, I don't know. Hope she's not hearing that. I'll get the look when I get home.
Yeah,
hey, honey, honey, can I have dominion over you, please? The look. Uh-oh, Candace is a woman. She's giving it to me. She's looking, giving me like that. Oh, women had this thing called a look. Ha! Ha! It's an evolutionary trait. The look. Yeah, I'm running! Sorry.
All right. Well, it was great talking to you, man. I sure appreciate it.
Okay,
and,
man.
Can't wait to hear the wacko mail.
He'll get to the wacko mail if we can. Callers are coming
All
in.
All right.
All right, buddy.
All right. You have a good day.
You too, man. God
bless. You.
All right. Ah, wacko mail. I like wacko mail. Wacko mail's fun. Hey, if you want to call 877-207-2276, let's get to Stephen from Idaho City. Stephen? Stephen from Idaho City.
Yes, sir.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. Doing all right.
Good. First, I wanted to thank you for your show with Chris Kelly. A real inspiration. And then I have a question for you.
Well, you're welcome for that.
Out of Judges,
mm-hmm.
Chapter 11,
mm-hmm.
it starts in verse 34 all the way to the end of the chapter.
Okay.
Should we read did, or?
Well, daughter coming out to, daughter was coming out to meet Jephthah when he saw her in his torn clothes because, yeah, that's right, his daughter's being sacrificed, killed, because he made the first thing, right? Yeah.
What, was she killed?
Apparently.
Because we know that God is against human sacrifice. I mean, he abhors that. So, was she actually killed and made as a burnt sacrifice, or was she actually offered at a temple, at the temple to where she couldn't have children anymore because she was his only daughter?
To be honest, I haven't studied it in a long time, so I can't give you a definitive answer. Okay,
like I said, I look at the character of God, and he has destroyed nations no further than the Incas and the Mayas for doing human sacrifice. And yet, Jephthah is in the Hall of, what's it called, in the Hall of Faith.
Faithful. He was 11.
Mentioned. And this is what's weird. It's the fact that, you know, it seems like God accepted that sacrifice, and yet all through Scripture, he says no such thing as human sacrifice.
Well, it says Jephthah did say as a burnt offering. And you're supposed to keep your vows, and he was foolish in what he did. Now, I don't know if I've written on it. I've written so many things, but I'd have to study it before I could really make any definitive statements about what is going on. Because he says he made a vow, and you can't break that vow. You're not supposed to. So she was able to... He was, he had a lot of paganism in his background too.
Yeah, he was the son of a concubine, wasn't he?
I'm not sure.
I think so. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, that's what I wanted to ask. But maybe if you give it a chance to study it, and I can call you some other time.
Yeah. I'm looking at some commentary, and it says that, just what you're saying, that it could be either way, that she was actually killed, or she was promised into service in the temple and could bear no children, which is...
Kind of like Samuel was.
Mm-hmm. In that culture, that's a huge thing and a huge sacrifice, because if a woman had children, she had respect and she had honor, and it was their purpose to have children. They were, it was elevation of status in the community. To have children, particularly if they had sons, and the sons did well, the women were just, they could just walk with their heads held high.
Yeah.
And so to be in that temple without children, it was not dishonorable, but lacked that being able to say, my child this, my son that. And it was a huge thing back then.
She was his only daughter.
Yeah.
So the lineage stopped right there.
Right. So there's a lot more going on. His name would disappear. Yeah, so there's a lot, And it's worth studying, though. I could put it on the list of things to do. It's only about 400 things long now. It's getting down there. It was 500.
So take a number, huh?
Yeah, I've got so much to do.
Well, thank you very much. And if, if anything, I can call later, probably around Christmas or something like that, maybe we can talk about it.
Yeah, if I've studied it by then, I hope I do. Email me on my website. Hey, the Jephthah Judges 11 thing, and see if I can... really quickly, let me look on my website, see if I've written, because I've done so many things. I have a Bible difficulties section. So let me just go there. Karm.org. Come on, computer. And Bible difficulties. And looking in there for Judges. And I don't have anything written on that. Okay. I've got a lot of stuff, but not that. There's a lot of stuff to write on.
Okay.
I have tons of stuff to write.
Thank you very much.
Okay. All right. God bless.
God bless you.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. I wish I had a better answer for that one, but that's just the way it goes. Don't know everything. Hey, folks, if you want to call 877-202-7276. Let's get to Kit from Arizona. Kit, welcome to the show. Are you there? Candace got it? Going to hit the dial? She's moving. She's dialing. She's switching. There it is. Okay, good. Hi, Kit.
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing all right, man. Doing all right. What do you got, buddy?
first of all, I don't think that the guy was making a vow that God told him to make.
Okay.
Just to say something to your last caller. But I do have a question about Isaiah chapter 14, and it's in verse 12 that it talks about somebody being very arrogant and falling from the highest height.
Yeah.
And the reason why I ask about it is in the Latin Vulgate, it says Lucifer, and in the King James Version, it says Lucifer, and the early church fathers say Lucifer, and in verse 4, it says the king of Babylon. Is that Lucifer or the king of Babylon? And the other reason why is because the Hebrew says morning star, and in Revelation, the morning star is Jesus Christ.
Right.
Is that too complicated of a question to
throw
at you all at once?
No. The word Lucifer means light bearer, and so it has to do with the word light. And prophecy in the Bible would sometimes be speaking right in the side of a text, bang, and now it's talking about something different and goes right back in. And that was so that the writers later on, under the movement of the Holy Spirit, could say this was referring to this. It's completely in-house. It's completely by the Word of God. That's just how it was done. And there is the issue of the light bearer, Christ being the light, the truth, the way. But remember, Satan also is the imitator of God, wanting to be the one who would be like the Most High. Because that's what it says there in Isaiah 14. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne. I will ascend above the heights. I will make myself like the Most High. So, you know, the devil is an angel of light that goes around deceiving people. So this is why we have the bit of confusion about the term, because as in a sense, we could say, and this is not accurate, but Satan's a counterpart of Christ. And I would be very careful when I say that, because he's not really a counterpart in any way, shape, or form of equality. But in the sense of him opposing, as the Antichrist opposed Christ, he's not an equivalent of Christ. But there's this anti, there's againstness. And we know that Satan imitates, speaks against God, and manifests himself as an angel of light. And that's why he's called an angel of light. That's why he's called Lucifer, the light bearer, and things like that. And it may also have reference to the issue of worship. I've read about that, where some commentators suspect that the issue of light had to do with the issue of worship, of creation, conveying that to God. And Lucifer wanted some of that. That's just a conjecture, some commentators.
You would understand why it would be difficult if the Hebrew says the morning star,
uh-huh.
You know, the Hebrew for the morning star, and yeah. It's translated Lucifer, and then in Revelation 2:28 and Revelation 22:16, it calls Jesus Christ the morning star. You could understand why that would be
absolutely
confusing.
But what we need to do is let the text say what it says.
I don't want to confuse them, obviously.
Well, then just study them. Each thing means in context. You know, God, Jesus is called the Son of Man, but we are also called Son of Men. Others are called sons of God, but yet Jesus is called the Son of God. And so the phrase can be applied in different ways, and it means needs to be understood in the context. And if God has inspired these phrases for a reason, then there's a reason for us to study it, to see what the differentiation is, and why would God allow the same kind of a title to be used of both good and bad. There's reasons for it. And so our job as Christians is to go in, map it all out, and figure out what's going on. And then we learn from it. So God has put this for a reason. But yes, if you just don't study, it'll make, well, I'm confused now. What does that mean? Devils is Jesus and all that stuff. And obviously not.
I've been studying this for a month, though.
Okay.
I mean, I know you're not saying that I haven't studied it, but it is confusing because in Isaiah 14, verse 4, it says, King of Babylon. And we know from Jeremiah that the king of Babylon is called my servant Nebuchadnezzar by the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He says he raised him up and put him in place to do what he did. And I know you agree with that because I've heard you talk about how God arranges these things, of course. And so it seems like he's talking about Babylon. I mean, the king of Babylon, and I'm not trying to argue that he isn't. And like I said, I haven't found this Lucifer thing before the church fathers, and so I don't know if it's a false doctrine in the church or whether I'm confused or what it is. Because I see it in people's statement of faith based on this verse on the 14:12.
Star of the morning is referring to who?
To Lucifer.
Okay. Yeah, that's not a problem.
Or they say it's Satan, of course.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's worth a study.
And as it says in Revelation 22:16, I've Jesus sent my angel testify for the church on the root of the offspring, the bright morning star.
Yeah, so that's the clearest one that says Jesus is the morning star.
Yeah,
that, and that when I saw that, I said, wait a minute, then Lucifer's not the morning star.
Like no, not necessarily. You can have the same phrase, but use a different context. And what I would do, I'd be looking
one
at the...
problem is one's in Greek and one's in Hebrew.
Right, but we have the Septuagint version of the Greek, and I'd be comparing the Greek in both cases to see what's going on. It'd be worth a study. That's something I'd have to just sit there and think about. That's a good question. What's going on there?
That's the one I don't have in front of me. I don't have the Septuagint in front of me. I could put it in front of me, but I wouldn't be able to read it very well.
Yeah,
well, that's why I didn't put it in front of me.
Yeah, I got it in front of me now, and I got the New American Standard in Greek as well. But what I'd have to do is do some more careful analysis later off the show, because otherwise I'd have to be quiet for 10 minutes at a time just thinking. You know, not going to do that right now. But
nobody's used to you being quiet.
My wife just said amen to that.
when you were asking for wacko mail, I was going to say, would you like a wacko collar instead? So it's not just you I make fun of.
That's fine. No problem. Man. I enjoy it, actually. I have no problem being made fun of. I enjoy it. I get a big kick out of it. I had a friend once. I was with my daughter. Not a friend. I met this guy. We only talked 5 minutes. My daughters are pretty nice looking. And he goes, man, I can see where your daughters got their good looks from. They got them all from you. And I'm looking at the guy like, what? You know, I'm not that good looking. You know, my wife's good looking. They got, you know, he goes, because you've got none left. And I'm totally laughing. Oh, okay, you ripped me good.
I was looking at a video of you on YouTube the other day and wondering why you're always saying Candace is saying you're good looking. But, you know, that's beside the point.
I've been discovered. The truth has been discovered.
And I could say that because nobody said I was good looking since I was an infant. So
yeah. Well, I'm not good looking at all, and my wife is, and all of her girlfriends couldn't believe she's dating me, and all of my guy friends couldn't believe she was dating me either. And, you know, I'll tell you, back in the day.
I would love to go on one of these Mormon things with you. By the way, it was a YouTube video that you did at a I guess, an open house at a temple or something like that. And I lived in Utah for 18 years. I would love to do one of those with you. I just don't know when I would have the money to and when we could, you know, get together to do that. But I would love to do it.
Well, there might get an opportunity in Meridian. They're supposed to build one. So, a temple. Okay?
So where's Meridian?
Meridian is next to Nampa. So from Idaho City, you go down to the airport, you know, hang a right, you go out there, you keep going, you know, past Boise, past the connector, you go out to where the big hospital is off of Eagle. That's Meridian. Okay?
You realize I'm poor and in Benson, Arizona, right?
Oh, I got myself mixed up because I thought you were out of Idaho City. Sorry.
No, if I was in Idaho City, it would be easier to
Yeah,
go
I'm
to
sorry.
Temple.
My bad. Okay. I totally messed up.
No problem. I'm just saying, I saw the video and I would like to do that sort of thing with you.
Well?
And I used to when I was in Salt Lake City.
You never know what'll happen then. Okay, buddy. I'm going to get going. Absolutely. We got callers waiting. All right, man. God bless.
Okay. Yeah, God bless.
Okay.
Bye now.
Well, how did I get that? I got it mixed up. I don't know how I did, but I did. That's all right. It happens. Hey, folks, I'll be teaching a Bible study tonight. Today is 10/21. That's October 21st. I'll be teaching in Nampa. If you're interested in attending tonight, 7:30, all you got to do is take the freeway out there to exit 36, go north 3/4 of a mile. The left-hand side is the Crossing Church. Be there at 7:30. All right, let's get to Sean at Boise. Sean in Boise. Hey, Sean, how you doing?
Good. How you doing, man?
I'm doing okay, man. What you got for me?
You doing okay? Well, my wife wanted me to ask this question.
Uh-huh. Sure.
And yes, exactly. It goes like this. So, if we in the new covenant are saved by grace through faith, then how were the Israelites in the old covenant brought through salvation?
Same way. Okay.
Well, they didn't even have Christ to have faith in him.
You didn't say Christ. You said saved by faith through grace. Or by grace through faith, you said.
Oh, true.
That's what you said, not by Christ. Huh? But it is by Christ.
Yes.
Okay. Now, what shall we say then that our father Abraham,
according to the flesh is found. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. That's Romans chapter 4, verse 3, quoting Genesis 15, 7. So, justification by grace through faith. Right there. Same way.
Even though they had all the law, which they couldn't keep.
Right. The law is a tutor that points us to Christ, Galatians 3:24. It shows that we need grace. See, Abraham was before the law, and he believed God, and his faith was reckoned as righteousness. His faith. He was justified by faith. The people in the Old Testament are saved the same way we are, by faith. Now, here's the thing. There's a bit of a difference. Where we look back to the cross, they would look forward to the cross. They didn't know it was the cross. They just knew the Messiah is coming, our deliverer. They had faith in the coming Messiah and the promise of God. Okay? That's it. And so they, of course, were by faith. Now, they were trying to keep the law because they were ordered to. But God has his people whom he keeps and whom he calls to himself. And we know that Father Abraham was justified by faith. Because that's what Paul's teaching us. He believed God. It was reckoned to him as righteousness.
Okay.
Real simple. Same way. Salvation's the same way.
All right, great. All right, thanks a lot, brother.
All right, God bless, buddy.
God bless, man.
Okay, we'll see ya.
Bye-bye.
All right. Hey, folks, if you want to call 877-207-2276, we won't have much time. That's why I said it so fast. We'll get to one more caller, it looks like. I'm going to check something. That was Genesis 15, 7. 15, 7? Or what is it, 15, 6? No, anyway, I got to find that right verse. I was going to make sure that I get things right. I'm going to check that out. We'll get a cross-reference. I thought he was quoting Genesis 15, 6, but he wasn't. Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned him as righteous. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. It is 15, 6. 15:6, Genesis 15:6. Okay, let's get to Fred from Boise. Fred, welcome to the show.
Hi, Matt. God bless you. I really like your show. Got a question for you.
Good.
I live from Catholics, and I'm a Christian. I'm not a Catholic.
Good.
And the subject of purgatory has come up. So I looked it up in the dictionary, got a basic idea of what it is. But also, I ran across in Hebrews 10, 26, and 27,
mm-hmm.
especially 27, but a fearful expectation of judgment. And a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries.
Mm-hmm.
What adversaries are being written about? Is that the sins that...
Adversary to the truth of God, adversary to the gospel, that fire will consume them here on the earth and or in judgment.
Okay, so it's not the refining process that the Catholics talk about.
Gee, refining process.
I read about it in the dictionary, and it says that they spend time in purgatory being refined by fire.
Yeah.
Pure enough to go to heaven.
Yeah, so what that really means is salvation by works. You see, you have to go through suffering, you have to go through purification before you're made worthy to be with God. In other words, Christ's work didn't make you worthy. You have to have Christ's work and your suffering and your pain and suffering and stuff in purgatory. It's called blasphemy.
Okay. All right, that clears it up. Thank you very much, Matt.
Hey, no sweaters, man. God bless. Any more? Oh, no? Okay. All right. I got time for Wacko Mail. There's nobody waiting. Wacko Mail. All right. Let me get to Wacko Mail. To Wacko Mail. I forgot. I had a whole category called Wacko Mail. To whom it may concern, either this year, earlier this year, we submitted to 300 international theologians 30 theses on some concepts of conventional theology in relation to the future of the solar system. This is awesome stuff. The recipients covered a wide range of faith groups. Since then, we have received a number of thoughtful contributions. These encourage us to continue these discussions. Our contributor, a moderator of a major faith group, suggested this may lead on the path towards a new perspective on theology. Other replies were more conservative. We anticipate to collect these contributions in a discussion document to be passed back to the contributors. Should you want to offer a contribution, I'd be happy to provide you with those received so far. Okay. Member of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation. Okay. The facts. One, the sun is the primary source of energy without life as we understand
without which life, as we understand it, the creation could not be possible. Would not be. Each living thing takes up energy. Directly solar heat. The sun creates this energy by a process. We can assume that this process consumes part of the source of that energy. We can assume that the source of that energy is unlimited. That's not true. The diminishing of the energy source will cause changes on Earth. These changes will cause major changes in living creatures, humankind, plants, and animals. Astronomers have evidence that stars have a life cycle which includes end phases of extremely high energy output before their ultimate demise. What is this getting to? Come on. We have no reason to assume that our sun is not similar or identical to others. We have no religious text that suggests that this... Okay. We have no reason to assume... Okay. Holy documents do not seem to give a justification why the Creator would want to destroy all of His creation. The predicted course of astronomical events challenges the traditional concept of a Creator God. As we begin to understand the astronomical course of events, we realize that the ancient Creator concept of God needs to be reconsidered. Any image of a Creator God would have to include the idea that this God permits or even be the cause of the ultimate destruction of life on Earth. We need to, that's because the sun's going to end. We need to find justification why a designer good or God who creates and maintains would destroy his designs, and also why any of the current faith groups or churches would consider itself to be the only true church. Golly. Where's the Twilight Zone music when you need it? Ding, 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 ding. 1 minute though, man. In this new reality, Abrahamic religions need to rethink their concept of a Creator God. This is the opportunity to better understand the principles of our religions and find peace amongst them. A first step would be removing from their teachings all differences which arise solely from their religious and mythological concepts. Also, why would any of the current faith groups of churches consider itself to be the only true church? Oh, man, there's more. This is wacko stuff. I'm out of time. Darn. Hey, if you guys, anybody out there in Radio Land is interested in attending a Bible study I'm teaching tonight, that's Friday, October 21st, and you want more wacko stuff, come on out to the church. It's at the Crossing Church in Nampa. All you got to do is go out the freeway, exit 36, get off on there, go north 3/4 mile, left-hand side, the Crossing Church. I'll be there tonight, 7:30. See you then. God bless. Bye. Have a good weekend. Later.
Been Faith and Reason with Matt Slick. For more, go to carm.org. That's carm.org.